before I get started, I want to take a little survey. First of all, how many of you, by a show of hands, were born into a Seventh-day Adventist Christian home? A fair number of you were. Okay. How many of you found your Savior as when you were children? When you were little children? That's wonderful. How many of you came to know Christ after you became adults? Praise God. Praise God. Now, how many of you attended Seventh-day Adventist elementary school? How about high school? How about college? Lots of hands. Before I start, I want to ask the Lord to bless what I have to say today, because I want to say it in a kind way. Father in heaven, I pray that your Holy Spirit will come and be with us today as we talk about education. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will give me words to say, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. How many of you were trained as teachers? Look at all those trained teachers out there. How many of you are educators? I should see every hand in this place go up. We are all educators, every one of us. On the insignia of my high school, of my academy, was the statement, "Education is life." But I would like to suggest to you that life is education. Life is education. As we live, we learn. I've heard it said that when one stops learning, he dies. Now, today I'm going to lean fairly heavily on the book Education by Ellen White. I am not going to directly quote from it, but the ideas that I've gotten are from that book. I think they're as timely today as they were 150 years ago when they were written. And today I want to consider our education system that goes all the way back to the book of 2 Kings. And if you have some free time this afternoon, I challenge you to read about the schools of the prophets. The purpose of education is to prepare us on this earth for a life of useful labor, but the greater purpose is to bring us to Jesus Christ and to prepare us for the life to come in heaven. Without a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ, our preparation for the life to come will not happen. We can know about Jesus Christ, but until we know him personally and develop a saving relationship with him, our faith and our religion are worthless. It is not enough just to know about our Savior. We must realize that every breath that we take is dependent upon him, upon his power and his grace. So then, how do we develop this loving and personal relationship with Jesus? Let's take a peek at education. Education starts where? In the home. You know, there's a statement that Ellen White makes that says that your child's character is developed by the time they're 3 years old. That's an amazing and a startling thing. What are we teaching our children in their infancy? That's why we have cradle roll and kindergarten and primary and juniors. We want to teach our children to know Jesus Christ, to know him as a person, as a friend. In the home, the mighty influences of the mother and the father demonstrate to the children what God is like. Here at his mother's knee, Jesus learned the lessons that would bring him to know his Father and his Father's plan. The father of the family, being the priest and standing in the place of God in the eyes of his children, is to be an example of love and divine trust in God. I've heard many, many times, and many of my friends have said this, that they are no longer a Christian today because his or her father was abusive, unfaithful, an alcoholic, and unloving. They cannot conceptualize a God as a loving father because they have no point of reference in their own family's setting. Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, brothers, you will never know this side of heaven what kind of an influence you've had on our little ones. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and sisters, you who have the majority of the caregiving of our children, have you taught your children at your knee? Have you taught them of Jesus and his love for them? Have you put forth an example of holiness, of cleanliness, neatness, industry, friendship, fidelity, integrity, and unconditional love and tenderness for these little ones? Parents, grandparents, and extended family, have we placed our lives on the altar of sacrifice to provide for our children a path to Jesus Christ? Now, this is what's happening in public education today. Current trends in the media are turning our children's minds away from spiritual food. It's hardening our consciences to God's law. It is teaching in opposition to God's law. Alternative lifestyles, such as cohabitation without the benefit of marriage, is now become acceptable in the public. The very definition of marriage itself is being corrupted and made to look foolish. The media is taking away our children's power to think and make decisions based on godly morality. Little by little, our children's minds and hearts are being turned to the world by music, electronic media, appetite, idle time and leisure time activities, and unrealistic expectations of life situations, and teachers who do not teach them the truth. Ellen White, in the book Education, says that the schools of the prophets were formed because God's people were not following his instructions at the family level, or at the church level, or at the government level. Corruption was rampant. If you remember, the schools of the prophets were started shortly after the time of Ahab, and Ahab was one wicked guy. And the truth of God had fallen in the dust. And so the schools of the prophets were developed so that God could bring back his people to himself. These schools were established to bring the people back to God and to bring them to a saving relationship with him. These schools were established on the premise that education is to be pure and undefiled. Every subject is to be taught with Christ as its center of teaching. Every concept was to be taught in truth, and the teacher was to exemplify in their own life the workings of these concepts. Work was an integral part of the school of the prophets. Young people were taught to have a useful skill by which to support their families, to support their church, and to support their country. Children should be taught to take care of their homes, how to be part of keeping the home tidy and clean. They should be taught how to care for and maintain a home. They need to know how to manage their resources, particularly their money. In all these areas, Christ is to be the center. If God's people were to manage their finances on the principle set forth in his word, there would be no want of money to support our churches and our schools. Seventh-day Adventist teachers are doing God's work. As surely as are the missionaries that go overseas. It troubles me to see Seventh-day Adventist children sitting at the feet of those who do not teach true Bible doctrine, even though they may be other Christian schools. These teachers have an immense influence on our children, and their lives are a greater testimony than what they teach. They may spend more time with your children than you do. They may be very spiritual and loving. But are they teaching the truth according to the Bible? And is that important? Let's look at Revelation 14, verse 12. Revelation 14, verse 12. I think most of us can say this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. God is preparing a place for his people, for his pure people. Do we want to keep our children Seventh-day Adventists, or does it matter? At this time in history, we find ourselves becoming increasingly squeezed for resources. Our schools and our churches have to continually beg for funds to keep functioning. Wouldn't it be nice if we never had to ask for money? Have we forgotten about what has been sacrificed for us in the death of Jesus Christ and the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, 24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit it is to a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no guarantee that a child will find Jesus Christ or remain a Seventh-day Adventist Christian by going to a Seventh-day Adventist Christian school. Because each of us has free moral agency. But by the show of hands earlier today, I will say that Christian education has had a profound impact on this congregation. We have the assurance that was found in our text today in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that brings me to stories. I've kind of thundered through this, but that brings me to some stories. How many of us have denied ourselves anything to send our children to Christian Seventh-day Adventist schools? How many of you really have denied yourself? Good, I'm glad that some have. I'm going to give you a brief history of my family. In 1938, a dryland farmer with five children lived way out in eastern Oregon. Alice, the mother, had come to know Jesus Christ through friendship ministry of an elderly lady who crawled over a barbed wire fence with a loaf of homemade bread and a little friend. That woman continued to send my grandmother's family little friend for many, many years. And when that family moved to Baker City, they began to attend the Baker Seventh-day Adventist Church, where they were again befriended. They were loved into that church. Now that Alice was a Seventh-day Adventist, suddenly she was faced with Christian education. Isn't that what you do when you become a Seventh-day Adventist? Send your children to be taught of the Lord? With an unbelieving husband, she was ready to send her eldest son to Gem State Academy. I don't know the whole story, but I do know that there was a horse named Major and a cow whose name has long since been forgotten. But they were exchanged for entrance fee for my uncle. There's much more to this story than I can tell, but I can say that this family gave up some of their way of making a living in order to give their children Christian education. This was repeated the next generation. When my dad gave up his 1952 Ford pickup so that my older brother could have an entrance fee. Now, I can't tell you all of the miracles that have happened in my family in terms of finding money to go to Christian education, because I believe that if we're dedicated to that and have faith that God will provide and we step out in faith, that He will fulfill His promises to us. Talking about money, in 1968, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ at Gem State Academy. And I gave my life to Him, and I said, "You take me where You want me to go." And He took me to Loma Linda University with no money. My mother and I got into our little Rambler American, and we drove down there. I went through registration. I got this class set up and this class set up, and all of a sudden, I found myself looking at the financial table. You know, they say, "How are you going to pay for all this?" You've signed up for all the stuff. Now, where's the money? They said, "Name, please." I told them. And they opened a large ledger, and they proceeded to tell me that my tuition had been paid in full for my entire education. At the time I got my education, Oregon had no colleges of physical therapy in them. And so I will have to give credit. I'm not sure that this is exactly correct, but I believe it's the Western States Continuing Health Education Association paid for my entire tuition. All I had to do was come up with living expenses. And all I can say is praise God. He knew where He wanted me, and I will tell you, off and on I've looked at my career over the last 40 years, and I've said, He couldn't have put me in a better place, because my personality was worked out well for that. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity of listening to Dan Matthews tell his story. How many of you did not know that Dan Matthews was a Roseburg boy? You did not know that. Dan Matthews was a Roseburg boy, and when he finished his 10 grades at Roseburg Junior Academy, his mother and father sold everything they owned, and they bought a little dry land farm out of Wilder, Idaho, so that Dan could be close to an academy and continue Seventh-day Adventist Christian education. When he graduated from Gem State Academy, his parents again sold everything and moved to Walla Walla so that Dan could continue his Christian education. Did it pay off? Yes, it paid off in a big way. Just think of all of our parents who have sacrificed to send us to junior academies, grade schools, elementary schools, junior academies, high schools, colleges, continuing education. Just think of the stars in their crowns because of their sacrifice. In this congregation today sit many, many people who have stories that are equal or more dramatic than mine has been. And when we look back at our history, we wonder, is the sense of sacrifice still there? Are we still willing to sacrifice to send our children to Adventist Christian schools? I ask you, is Seventh-day Adventist Christian education important? I would challenge you to help support those who are unable to support themselves in our schools. If you have children or grandchildren and you have the means to support them, help them. If you don't have children or grandchildren in our schools, help someone else's children and grandchildren. That's what we do in a family. We help each other. Live simply, give generously, so that a child might be educated for eternity. Sacrifice so that someone else might know the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 54:13 says, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children."